Our text comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We pray. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness and purity. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today we'll go right for the paraphrase. We'll skip all the tying in and everything else. We're just going to go right for the paraphrase of this beatitude. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. The paraphrase will probably read something like this. How fortunate are the sincerely hopeful, for they shall be astonished in seeing God. How fortunate are the sincerely hopeful, for they shall be astonished in seeing God. And in keeping with the flow of the Beatitudes, we had the last one, which was merciful. Those people who extend mercy, but no questions asked. Mercy is needed. Mercy is extended. Motive, schmotive. The pure in heart are like that. They're without motive. They are by nature merciful. And they live without ulterior motives. Their actions are without hypocrisy. What you see is what you get with the pure in heart. And again, we remind you that this beatitude is not necessarily about, you know, when God touches you and purifies you and takes away your sins, that's already kind of been covered. This beatitude goes beyond that. You have been made pure with your relationship with Christ through faith, but now this is more about your relationship with others, that kind of a we attitude rather than or part of the beatitude that we talked about last week. And with the pure in heart, there is no attempt at deception. No attempt at distortion. In fact, you know what? You want to know something? The pure in heart make lousy poker players. Absolutely terrible poker players. Because they can't hide their feelings. They can't hide how they feel about any given moment. I found a website that actually had video of people playing poker who did not have poker faces, and it was a stitch just to see it. They'd open up their cards and they'd go. And there were so many different ones that were like that, you know. But the pure in heart, not good poker players. And, you know, the world views that as a curse, doesn't it? But are you kidding me? It's these kind of believers, those who have been touched by God and given this grace of a pure heart, that God chooses to show himself in astonishing ways. The word see here in the Greek means to gaze with wide open eyes at something remarkable. It means to gaze with wide open eyes at something remarkable. And this is the facial expression of those who are pure in heart. It's like the biggest surprise at the best birthday party ever. That's the pure in heart. That's what they will receive. That's what God will show them. And unfortunately, the pure in heart are a rare breed. And that's really sad in the church especially, because we don't have to be impure in heart. When you were baptized, the Holy Spirit was given to you, and he brought God's purity with him. The well of purity is there. We just need to tap into it. But what happens? From infancy on, we are told to hide our true feelings, to put on the poker face. And we learn to do it, too. Because when we do allow our true feelings to show forth, we're either mocked or, many times, we get burnt. And so we learn to put on the poker face. Well, I pray as we go through this message today that the Holy Spirit will just move in our hearts and cause us to believe this promise. This wonderful promise for those who are willing to recapture, to open up to the possibility of a pure heart. I pray that we'll all become lousy poker players. And when that happens, I'll play poker with you and man up. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. We wouldn't do that. But I do. I mean, I pray that that's where we go with this, as we believe this great promise. Because you will see amazing things from God. Yep, the pure in heart, rare breed. And is it any wonder that Jesus made very special note of someone who was pure in heart in Scripture? I don't know if you remember it or not, but when Philip went and told Nathanael about Jesus, and Jesus saw Nathanael and said, "Hey, there's a guy with no guile. There's a guy who has a pure heart." So rare that Jesus made special note of it, the purity of heart of Nathanael. He said, "Here's a guy with no guile. He's sincere. He's a man who's ready to think the best and believe the best about others. A man with no ulterior motives." And let's just look at that encounter briefly between Jesus and Nathanael, because it's a great picture of this beatitude. It really is. John 1:45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I mean, right away, you just observe the honesty of Nathanael. This is how he felt. He didn't hide it from Philip. This is what he had come to know and hear about Nazareth, and he just honestly blurts it out. Now, the pure in heart aren't necessarily always pure. I mean, that's not necessarily a pure thought, is it? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But they are willing to believe the best. And that's where it goes next. Because Philip said, "Come and see." Well, because Nathanael was pure in heart, willing to give the benefit of the doubt, he said, "Okay." So Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" I mean, that's another thing about the pure in heart. If you're pure in heart, you kind of know it, you know. You know your own reputation. You know that you have this propensity to just believe and look for the best in others. And the pure in heart can't hide it. And others can see that naivety all over their faces and actions. But Nathan's comfortable with who he is. He's comfortable with this purity of heart. But he's also puzzled. How can this guy who's never played poker with him know that about him? Puzzled by that. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And right away we see the connection between the poor in heart and seeing astonishing things from God. It's a good living example of this beatitude. Nathanael, the one of pure heart, immediately receives the promise of God. He was astonished. So Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than this, than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Where have you heard that before? Angels on the escalator going up and down. Where have you heard that before? I'll show you something kind of interesting here. This obviously is the reference, isn't it, to the Old Testament account of what we call Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder. That famous prophetic vision of Jacob. But Jacob, he's just, Jacob is far from pure in heart. He's the guileful. You know, he's the complete opposite of Nathanael. He's always conniving. You don't want to get in a poker game with Jacob. He'll walk away with your birthright, your blessing, your pants, your shirt, and everything else. Just ask Esau, by the way, if you don't believe that. Now, I want you to hold that thought. Jacob, the deceiver, getting this vision. And I want to turn to 2 Samuel 22:27, which is an exact, really, of this beatitude, the Old Testament passage linked to this beatitude, which reads, "With the pure, thou wilt shew thyself pure." In other words, the pure in heart will see the purity of God, and they will be astonished. But listen to the rest of this verse. This is where it's interesting. "And with the froward," now the froward are the devious, the insincere, the Jacobs of this world, "thou wilt shew thyself unsavory." And the word unsavory here means to wrestle. Well, isn't that interesting? Do you know anyone whom God wrestled with in the Old Testament? That good old supplanter, that good old deceiver, that good old great poker player, Jacob. The complete opposite of the pure in heart. And in this vision, God was just showing what he was going to do with Jacob. You see, God wants to wrestle away your scheming heart. Do you struggle with being deceitful? Do you struggle with doing things out of improper motives? Do you find yourself always being overly skeptical and cynical and negative attitude about other people? God wants to wrestle with you. He wants to wrest that away from you as he wanted to wrest it away from Jacob. "Blessed are the sincere, for they shall see amazing things of God." And don't you know that after this wrestling match that Jacob went through, he saw some amazing things from God. Read the story of Joseph. How amazing all of that was. There's other passages in Scripture that link blessing with sincerity. Psalm 32:2, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." 1 Peter 3:10, "Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit." Be pure, and you will love your way through life. you will have good days. They won't be eaten up with you caught up in worrying about if your angle is going to work or not. Now, you and I may be tempted to say, well, you know what? That sincerity and purity and naivety may work for Nathaniel, but that's not who I am. That's not who I am. Well, friend, just as mercy is not an option, neither is purity. Purity of your heart is not an option. Psalm 24, 3 through 5 says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And the pure heart, the psalmist then defines what a pure heart is. Who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord. So do not give falsehood a place in your heart. So what can we do? Since we need this purity, what can we do? And the world seems to have stolen it away from us. What can we do to restore this? How can we work with the Lord in this process of purifying our heart? Well, first of all, wrestle with Him. And you wrestle with Him when you get into this Word. Luther rightly said that the pure ponders the Word of God in his heart. It speaks of wrestling and obeys it. Psalm 119, 9 and 10 echoes that sentiment. How can a young man, you young men here today, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, the psalmist writes, that's undivided, a truth-seeking missile. Let your hearts become truth-seeking missiles. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Why are the commandments important? Why? Because Psalm 19:8, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Enlightening the eyes. Do you want to join the ranks of the pure in heart? Listen to 2 Timothy 2:22. He says, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And then a key word, along, A-L-O-N-G, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. You want to join the ranks of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart? Then flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness and pursue faith and pursue love and pursue peace. Now, there's a reason that God wants pure hearts. You're purified for a purpose. 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, by receiving the gospel, for the reason for this is a sincere, a pure, brotherly love. Love one another earnestly, with a sense of urgency from a pure heart, one motivated by love, love alone. What else does the Bible say about purity? Learn to be gracious to one another. And it starts with the individual congregations, obviously. Learn to be gracious to one another. Learn to speak graciously to one another. Proverbs 16:26 says, gracious words are pure. And there's nothing that stinks up a joint more than someone speaking ungracious words. Be gracious to one another in how you act. Proverbs 21:8, the conduct of the pure is upright. Fight to be pure. Titus 1:15 says, to the pure, all things are pure. To the pure, all things are pure. What in the world did the Holy Spirit mean by that? Well, I think he meant that the pure in heart look for and hope for the good in others. Do you know anyone like that? They just always seem to, you know, you may want to tear someone down, but they're out there looking for the good, hoping for the best. As I was looking for quotes tied with the pure in heart, I ran across this quote from Beethoven, who was quoted as saying, only the pure in heart can make good soup. Huh? You know, let's go back to composing some music instead of making quotes, you know. I was really puzzled by that until I saw this passage in Titus. Only the pure in heart make good soup. You know why? Because only the pure in heart know that there's some good in that ham bone. You and I might throw the ham bone out, but a good cook takes that ham bone and makes pea soup with it that's out of this world. Or bean soup. Joni makes great pea soup. And she'll put that ham bone in the water and just boil it away, and that meat, it just falls off the bone, comes into the soup, so good. My mom made great chicken soup because she saw good in the gizzards. And she saw good in the neck. And she would throw that in and that would make you a good stock. That's what Beethoven was talking about. The pure in heart believe the best and they hope for the best in others. The pure in heart are filled with the love spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember that? The pure in heart? Love bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, and endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13:7. You see, the pure in heart believe that God can make a difference in the lives of others. They don't give up on people. Luther sums this up so well in the Eighth Commandment. He says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not deceitfully lie about, betray, backbite, nor slander our neighbor, but defend him, speak well of him, and put the most charitable construction on all that he does. What's Luther saying? What he's saying here is that thou shalt hold out a pure heart to thy neighbor. And then you can see how this pure attitude lends itself to the next beatitude of making peace. You want to make peace between people? Start with looking for the good. I remember how I was so unforgiving of my father. Because I could dwell on all the rotten things he did as a dad. But it wasn't until God said, why don't you start looking for the good, that I could see the good. And my heart was purified. Before my dad died, we were able to make peace. You'll see amazing things from God if you would just look to purify your heart. If Nathanael was not willing to give this Nazarene the benefit of the doubt, where would he have been? he would have been left behind. But because he had this quality of a sincere heart, because his motives were pure, he was invited to tag along and be astonished by God. Do you want to be astonished by God? I hope so. Again, that word speaks of wide-eyed amazement. Well, it starts in the here and now. The pure in heart will see God move in amazing ways. I've seen it. And I know people who have this quality, this pureness of heart. And I've seen God grant them amazing answers to prayers. God has astonished them. Because God is a man of his word, and he says, I will astonish you if you have but a pure heart. I know others who have a purity in heart, and God shows them amazing things in his word. But again, it's not just in the here and now. Hey, the real jaw-dropping amazement will be the privilege of seeing Jesus coming in his glory to take the pure in heart to be home with him in final glory. There's an unavoidable spiritual truth connected with the pure in heart. They can't help it. They look for what is true. They want to see what is really true. What is beyond deception. They want to experience that in their own lives. And to want such things is to want to see God, because that's who God is. He is pure. His love is pure. There is no deceit. He is beyond deception. God is not a man that he should lie, says the scriptures. John Stott, in his book on the Beatitudes, says this: only the utterly sincere, the pure in heart, can bear the dazzling vision in whose light the darkness of deceit must vanish, and by whose fire all shams are burned up. The pure in heart are done with shams. Be done with shams. Are you ready to let God burn up your shams? Are you ready to become real? Are you ready to see God do some amazing things? Then seek the pure heart. How fortunate are the sincere, for they will be astonished by what God reveals to them. Believe it, beloved. And seek to be a person without guile, someone who believes the best and hopes for the best in others, because they know what God can do. And then stand by and be ready, as God will show you amazing and astonishing things. Amen.